to Fart House, where we watch the artsiest, fartiest films so that you can pretend that you did. Today's a big one, our annual Academy Award episode. And today we're talking about the 95th Academy Awards. Very exciting. Patrick, I host the show with you. Mm-hmm. How are you? Patrick Mallon.
Good. Loyal listeners will know that I hurt my finger putting my pants on.
Yes, Patrick, update, finger update. How's it going?
Do you see this on my hand?
Yes, I do.
So it's a...
I'm sorry, there's a siren going on in the background. Apologies.
It's okay, continue. I can't hear it. Cousin Sammy Lawboy, who's been referenced multiple times on the podcast, his wife, Casey, is a doctor, and I showed her this when I was in Atlanta last weekend.
Yes.
And she said, that looks like mallet finger. And then I went to the doctor earlier last week.
Looks like what finger?
Mallet finger, also known as baseball finger, because athletes get it, but I got it putting my pants on.
I thought you said malin finger.
No,
and
that
I said,
would be,
that is a malin finger.
That would be that would be incredible. Oh, you're not going to believe this, though. So when I was in Atlanta last weekend, before we went to the Atlanta United game, we went to this this bar, kind of public marketplace, kind of like Grand Central Market in LA, but in Atlanta, kind of mm-hmm. similar, and went there. And I was kind of surprised at how many, like, strangers were asking me about my finger. Like, the bartender asked me what happened to my finger.
A lot of little nosy Nellies yeah. in Atlanta, it sounds like.
Yeah, would you ask someone about that? If they had, like, a... Unless they were, like, a regular, would you ask, like, what happened
Maybe
to you?
They thought you looked attractive and interesting and wanted to strike up a conversation with you.
I don't know about that. I had a massive blue foam splint on my middle finger.
That is a little nosy.
Yeah.
Anyways, I would be annoyed.
Anyways, so I was telling the bartender what happened. And a guy sitting at the bar right next to me while I was ordering my drink started laughing. He's like, oh my God, the same thing happened to my girlfriend. And we had to go because Sam was getting really anxious because we had to get to the Atlanta United game on time. So we were on a tight crunch. I was like, oh, I want to. He's like, you got to wait here. You got to meet my girlfriend so she can tell you what happened. It's like, I wish I could. I got to go. And then I
More
go
like
back.
Sammy laying down the law, boy. Gosh. Yeah.
And then as we're getting ready to leave, the guy like tracks me down with his girlfriend and she shows me her finger. And she did the same exact thing, taking off her jeans. I did it putting my pants on. She was taking her jeans off. Same thing. And
the yin to your yang.
Yeah. And
was it the same finger?
Yes, the same finger, left middle finger. Yeah, it's extraordinary. And it was also very validating because all of Sam's friends were there and they kept asking what was wrong with my finger and I had to keep saying because I put my pants on. So I was the butt of the joke. And then this woman comes in and proves it's possible to happen to other
people.
It's
almost like you hired a ringer or something or like, you know, to like come in and validate
you. It's not beyond the scope of possibility. So anyways, it's called mallet finger. Folks at home want to look it up. And so I have this like specialized splint that contours to my finger and it hyperextends the finger here.
What is mallet finger?
So it's like a little tear of the tendon at the top knuckle. So it's a little tiny tear.
Oh,
and
yes.
it's apparently very, very hard to heal. I actually have to wear this for 6 weeks, which is really annoying.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How are you typing?
Not well. I turn on caps lock inadvertently all the time. It's just a disaster. It takes everything.
I don't know what I would do because so much of my job, I mean, so many of everybody's job is typing.
Yeah, it makes everything take longer.
But I'm like editing like with a lot of fast finger movements
yeah.
on a keyboard all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's very
wow.
grating.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So anyways, that's my health update.
That's the finger update.
That's the finger update. Recurring theme. How are you, Case?
Patrick, I'm good. I'm doing well. Anything to report? Oh, big stuff happening.
Mm.
This week, when this comes out, it'll come out on a Thursday. So the day before, we had our like premiere of our movie Surprise, written and directed by Luce Tomlin-Brenner, which I produced. We're doing it at a theater in Hollywood. It's going to be a big event. I'm very excited. I think there's going to be a Q&A, all sorts of stuff. It'll be great.
That's really,
really
fun. Cool. Do you have a head count on people showing up yet?
I have no idea. I have been very unhelpful to Luce in organizing the screening.
I got an exclusive invite, but I couldn't make it, but.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. You don't live here.
Yes.
But on Saturday, I'm writing Luce's coattails a little bit. I'm premiering my short film, The Smallest Girl in the World.
Starring?
That's it. Starring Lucy Tallon-Brenner.
That's
yes.
right.
So, like, it's all very interconnected. Wait, Lucy
Case,
and I have a huge week.
It's this Sunday, the 11th?
This Saturday.
Oh, this Saturday. Wow.
The stars are out, my friend.
Where's yours premiering?
We're doing it at Justin Coates' parents' office because they have a really cool office.
Oh, and
space.
The Dina? Yeah,
I know it sounds like not exciting, but it's been designed really beautifully by Justin, and it's a really cool big space.
Yeah, he showed me pictures when I was there in October, and it looks pretty incredible. Although I didn't get from the pictures the size of the place, so that's cool that it can accommodate it.
Yeah, I think there's probably going to be about 30 people there.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so it'll be.
You know,
good what's
amount. As funny as the last time you had a big premiere was at Justin's.
I know.
Place of work. There's previous employer.
He helps facilitate facilities.
Yes,
he does. For me.
He's your booking agent.
No, I really appreciate that he is doing that. I don't know if he listens to this show, so I don't know if he's going to hear this.
I don't
thank
think
you,
he
but I'll thank him in person and I'll thank him again.
Cool.
So big week for movies.
This is
it's
very
exciting. And the Academy Awards.
Do you
it's
have
all happening.
Any anxiety about showing it on Saturday?
Not really. It's so short. It's 14 minutes. So, like, even if I can be in agony for 14 minutes. I've been in agony much longer than that.
I feel like the agony is mostly, though, leading up to the start of it, though. Or maybe not.
Yeah, no, maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
But
I'm not too nervous about it. I know everyone who's going to be there.
Okay.
So, it's just more of an event. I'm going to have some wine, you know. It'll be fun.
Cool.
Good time.
Love it.
So, that's going on. And that's
and
exciting.
After you premiere, when will it be available for people to see?
You know, it's going to be a while. It can be one of those things where I can send it to people, but it can't just be living on YouTube online or anything because there are rules and stipulations with film festivals, which I'm trying to get into, about they're very finicky about, like, will this be the world premiere if you
right.
bring it here? And they're less likely to accept it in a festival if it's been premiered somewhere else or is just like available online.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you started submitting already?
If anybody asks, I'll send it to them.
Okay.
What's that?
Have you started submitting already?
I have. I've submitted to Tribeca, Indie Shorts in Indianapolis.
Cool.
The Palm Spring Short
nice.
Film Festival, Holly Shorts, and I think that's it.
Anything in Twin Cities?
I will be
cool
submitting to the Twin Cities Film Festival and I believe it's the Minneapolis Film Festival. Both of those. So
excelente.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
Very cool. Very
fun
cool.
Stuff. If anybody wants to watch it, email me at caseyleeobryan@gmail.com. I'll send it to you. But I just can't have it living somewhere. I'm happy to show it to anybody who wants to watch it.
Yeah, I want to watch as soon as I can.
I will send it. I'm making one little tweak tomorrow, and then I can send it to you, Patrick.
A little color grading situation? Or
No. It's been color graded for a long time. We switched in a music cue, and so I had to change that.
Gotcha.
Other than that, we're good to go.
Cool. Love it.
It's all very exciting. A lot of fun stuff happening, Patrick, including the 95th Academy Awards. That's a cool number, 95.
Do you remember how we usually do the Jurassic Park theme for some reason when we talk about the Oscars?
Oh, yeah. I think we introed it at the beginning. I'll throw it in here.
Yeah, throw it in.
Again. Maybe I'll do it at the top.
Yeah, do it at the top.
That'll be exciting. That'll be great. Yeah, we'll make sure that happens. It makes sense. John Williams... He's orchestral, and he's still alive somehow. Isn't that amazing?
It's unbelievable that he's still alive.
Did he do the Fableman score?
Yes. There's no way he's actually still writing these scores. Like, it's got to be, like, I've heard, like the big...
Ghostwriter?
Yeah, I mean, the big composers have, like, all these teams of little composer minions that write pieces for them.
Interesting.
Didn't we know someone that wrote for Hans Zimmer?
Yes, I'm blanking on that. I remember hearing that somewhere.
Yeah. Anyways, I can't imagine. That would be a pretty good line.
I was watching a video about John Williams recently, and he was talking about the Indiana Jones theme.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the thing that takes him the longest in scoring these movies is coming up with the little the simple little melody.
Right.
Like, he tries to make the simplest melody possible.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So, like, coming up with Bum ba dum bum. Bum ba dum. Bum ba dum bum bum. Bum ba dum bum bum. That, even though that sounds simple, that he's like, that took me forever.
Yeah. I mean, because to create like a sort of earworm like that, it's like one of the most challenging things you can do. I don't know if Manuel would agree with us, really? But.
Manuel frequently, I think, listens to us and throws his headphones off because he's so annoyed with the things we've said because we're,
you know, so I got a little bit irritated with him the other day because he said that I have a baritone and you have a tenor. And apparently a tenor is more rare. So he seemed to be more impressed with your skills than with mine.
Ooh, hate to argue with Manuel. And I don't. I agree. I am a tenor. Were you ever in choir, Patrick?
No, I wasn't.
I was in choir. I sang tenor. Oh, I took voice lessons.
Oh, okay. So you have some background as a tenor.
I've put more work into it. Yeah. Manuel. Yeah. And that irritated you. Baritones are fun. That's what Johnny Cash is.
Yeah, because he said you were like more like rare and special. And I'm just like...
Well, again, can't argue with Manuel. Patrick,
yeah,
how exciting the Oscars.
Very
exciting. I still get so titillated and excited about it.
Me too. Which is weird. I'm cynical about so many things, but the Oscars are still exciting to me.
I'm cynical, but they mean so much to me. It's so interesting because the Oscars get it so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do they get it wrong? But then they also sometimes get it so right.
Yeah, and it's so exciting. Right. It's like shocking. It's like, how did they actually make a good decision here?
When Moonlight actually won, I was like, you guys did it. Good job.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember the order of operations here, but it's like Moonlight wins, and then it's like Green Book.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck? And then it's like Parasite. And then it's like Coda.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you guys can't. You really go back and forth. It's really wild, but it still means something because I think they get it right sometimes.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it's kind of exciting to watch if they'll get it right or if they'll get it wrong.
Yes, according to us, the ultimate arbiters of right and wrong.
Well, I don't even think you have to like kind of say according to us. I think what we say is law.
That's true. That's true.
God's law. Patrick, what are you excited about, nervous about with this specific Oscar ceremony?
Very good question. I'm trying to think what I'm most invested in for like this Oscar year. I think I'm a little bit nervous about Brendan Fraser. I want Brendan Fraser to win. But I'm also a little bit apprehensive about some of the discourse that'll kind of surround that because The Whale has been kind of dogged by, you know, understandable, you know, problematic discourse.
Yes.
So I feel like that's kind of been spent. So I don't want that to like kind of like come up again.
I hear you. I think it's like one of those things like the play is problematic.
Yeah.
Like it's not. I don't know. The fact that it exists, so like that, they made a movie of that, and that's like what it is. And then Brendan Fraser is in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think people are torn in general about that, though, because they like want him to win, but like also the fat suit is not good.
Right.
And I understand why people are annoyed and upset about that. So I don't know. I understand.
I'm looking now. So I'm pulling up all the nominees.
We'll go through all.
Okay,
that.
We'll go most through them all. So yeah, so like, there's a lot of different things, but nothing's like sticking out to me as the one thing that I'm like most excited about or the storyline that I'm like most following.
Yeah.
I think, even though I just kind of said like, I mean, yeah, the way Brendan Fraser is probably like the biggest storyline for me that I'm most interested in.
Okay,
seeing. I really want to see him win.
I am like. I'm still triggered by the slap from last year. Like, that still is resonating with me. I found it so disturbing.
Even
I
with was time, so, you haven't kind of...
Yes, I find it so... To me, it was such an assault. I feel like Will Smith should have been arrested and banned for life from the Academy Awards. This is insanity. I don't know. And I'm scared. Like, somehow the most tight, like... formal awards show there is, the Oscars is like the most formal, has had some of the biggest craziest goof ups.
You know, which I guess that's what I'm looking for. It's what can top the slap or the wrong Jesus. Best picture winner.
I just like it within like when did that happen? That happened like 5 or 6 years ago. Within a 10-year span, those two things happened.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Moonlight and La La Land, I think that was that 2018? Around there? So
I don't
within
remember.
Like 5 years, I think.
That is wild.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts.
I love Kiwi Kwan.
Yes,
I really want him to win.
I want him to win.
I think that's like the only one where I'm really like, oh, let him win.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Please. He just would be so, like, that would be so life-changing. I don't know. It's such a cool story.
Yeah, it's such
a phenomenal
story. I just
think that would be
story.
So neat. And I just love, every time he speaks at something, it's like, his sincere excitement is so infectious, and I like end up crying.
Yeah,
and like I don't know. I'm rooting for him.
He's like a
most of all.
He's a star that's like transcended like multiple generations, and he kind of like taps into like a lot of different people's like you know nostalgia, and then also
yeah.
you know for people that are seeing him for the first time and Everything Everywhere All at Once, it's like pretty cool.
I also think he gives a little insight into the industry, like. He came all the way back from like nothing for like,
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's,
which I kind cool. of feel like it's kind of like how it happens sometimes. Like if you're lucky enough to be a child star and then you know, things kind of, or I should say, I don't know. It's a fraught thing, but if you're lucky enough to be a child star and then your career kind of flames out and then you come back, it's pretty impressive. Like there's,
yeah.
Jackie Earle Haley. I mean, he's not
yeah.
that
oh,
famous.
Oh, that's a good
but,
example.
You know, he was in Bad News Bears and was a pretty big child star. And then,
he got nominated for an Oscar, too.
Yeah, for Little Children.
He hasn't been in much lately.
No, he hasn't. So maybe...
I think he was a new Freddy for a little bit.
Yeah,
too.
He was the new Freddy. Yeah. And he was the Rorschach in the Zack Snyder
yes,
Watchmen
Yes, that's
movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we saw a Q&A with Robert Englund?
Oh, how could I forget?
And that one guy tried asking him a question. Do you remember this?
I remember the Q&A, but I can't remember which question it was.
Well, he was like so nervous and he kept kind of qualifying. And he's like, when you look back on the films that came immediately after the first one, and I'm not talking about, you know, exactly the immediate sequel, but the sequels and other sequels on top of it. And I don't mean to, and he kept kind of like building on top, and like, I was like, where the hell is this going? And he talked for like 5 minutes and the crowd started laughing and Robert Englund was like, I get what you're asking. Like, it was like, oh God. Nerds. Anyways, Patrick, I want to get to the business of this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
let's get down to our...
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I loved the movies this year that are nominated for Best Picture.
Really?
Yes.
I think I did.
Are you less enthusiastic?
I just didn't love Avatar.
That's my least favorite movie, and I liked it.
Yeah, that's my least favorite. Yeah. Yeah, it's actually a very, like, there's nothing, the only thing that would make me upset if it won would be Avatar. Everything else, I would be fine with it.
There's
winning.
No, I just feel like Coda last year, I was like, Coda?
Yeah.
And then, like, King Richard, I was like,
oh my God, yeah.
God, those movies were bad.
Yeah.
I thought.
Yeah. I think last year's crop was abysmal compared to this year's. And even,
yes.
you know, I understand that I have my own issues I need to work through with James Cameron and Avatar. So even if that won, I could kind of
you and James have a very sordid past.
We do. It's a lot of bad blood between me and Jim.
You and Jimmy Cameron, yeah. You guys.
But I feel like I can wrap my head around how that makes sense, I guess. But with last year, there were just so many pathetic.
Wait, I just want to pull up the best pictures of 2022.
While you do that, I'm going to ask you a question. So this is kind of multitasking. Are we going to do kind of what we do before? Will we do like what we think will win?
Yes, I think that's good.
Okay. What we think will win, what we want to win, what should win. I don't know if we need to do all three like that, but that's kind of what
No,
we...
I think we can do what we think and what will.
Okay.
Let's see.
Wait, you mean what we think and what we want?
What we think will win and what we want to win.
Yeah.
Where is that damn? I'm looking it up right now. Hold it, your horses, everybody. We're getting there. What the heck? Patrick, I also wanted to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here we go. Coda. Oh my God. Look at this crop of Best Picture nominees from last year. Coda.
Oof.
Belfast.
Oof.
Don't Look Up.
Ugh.
Ugh. Drive My Car. I like Drive My Car. But not, Drive My Car isn't one I'm like, I don't know. I didn't, it was good,
yeah,
but
it's
I
good,
didn't
yeah.
like. Dune. Dune's fine.
Fine.
Fine. I think Dune is better than Avatar.
Yes.
King Richard.
Ugh. Ugh.
Licorice Pizza. Good.
Love.
Nightmare Alley. Okay.
Fine.
Didn't hate.
It's not a Best Picture.
The Power of the Dog. Now, I like Power of the Dog, but I do not think about that movie.
I really like The Power of the Dog, but yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I don't really think about it either.
And West Side Story I also liked, but I think The Fablemans is better than West Side
Story. I think Fablemans is better, too.
What a shitty crop of movies.
Yeah, that's
I just
awful.
Think this year's crop is so much better.
Yeah, I agree.
Patrick, what are you doing for the Oscars? Do you know?
No plans yet. I think we're still in talks with a few different vendors to try and figure out what makes the most sense for us logistically and price-wise. But
it's a bit of a bidding war yeah. right now between vendors.
Yeah. We should settle. We'll hope to sign the contract by Wednesday evening. So
that's good.
So by the next time we record, I'll be able to regale you with tales of my Oscar party.
Fantastic.
But as of now, I need to stay tight-lipped. What about you? What do you have planned?
Going to Tom Myers again. That's kind of become a tradition.
Lovely, lovely. Where's he live? Is he still in Culver?
He's in Culver. What's that little area near Culver? Baldwin Hills?
Okay.
He's near there.
And what kind of turnout are you expecting at this?
Don't know. Mysterious.
Okay.
Unsure.
Do you like who's all going to be there before you go?
Usually I do, but in Tom I trust.
Okay.
I trust Tom. And it's usually a pretty small crew. I feel like last year or the year before, it's usually like Dan O'Brien and Meg Finney. I don't know if they're going to be there, but...
they famously have a baby, right?
They have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
They have
very
a baby.
Famous.
I don't know if the baby's going to make an appearance, but that would be cool. Patrick,
yes.
Let's go through these right now.
Okay.
We'll do the best supporting actors.
Ooh.
Okay?
Case, I don't know where we want to insert this, but I don't know if maybe we can go through it category by category, if we have one, like snubs maybe, some that we think might be a...
Sure,
we
I
wish
love that.
Should have been nominated. I don't have anything at the ready, but maybe as we go through, I'll think of stuff.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay.
I love that. That's great. Okay, actor in a supporting role.
Okay.
Brendan Gleeson, The Banshees of Inisherin. Wait. Actor, he was a supporting role? I guess he's supporting. That's sort of surprising.
I feel like it's like one of those weird political things, you know, where like,
yeah,
it's all what they put them up for or what they campaign on,
yeah.
you know?
Interesting. I guess Colin Farrell is more of the lead in that, but.
Yeah, but I would call them both leads too.
Okay. Brian Tyree Henry in Causeway. I don't know that movie.
I don't know that movie at all. I think it's an Apple TV movie with Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, okay.
I do like Brian Tyree Henry though.
I love him. I think he's fantastic. I'm
yeah.
glad he's nominated. But I don't want him to win for this because I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I don't know who's...
Selfishly.
Have you met anyone that's seen Causeway?
I've never even heard of it yeah. until I just read the words right now. Judd Hirsch, The Fablemans. Okay.
What are your thoughts on
Daddy Keogh. He's good in it. I think it's a good nomination. I don't want him to win for that.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Barry Keoghan, The Banshees and a Sharon. And then Ke-Huy Quan from Everything Everywhere All at Once. I want Ke-Huy Quan to win, and I think he will win.
I agree with that.
Any snubs in mind?
Any snubs in mind? Nothing's really coming to mind snub-wise and best supporting actor.
You reminded me of Napoleon Dynamite right now.
Why?
When he's like, that's the thing. Nothing comes to mind. Doesn't Kip say that? He's like, yeah, he says
Oh,
that.
You
he
know who
that.
I would say is a snub, actually? And I don't know if you'll agree with me, because I'm actually not sure where you stand on this movie. I thought Woody Harrelson in Triangle of Sadness was incredible.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's a good snub.
I would have slotted him.
Nice snub.
I would have slotted
him. Peanut.
Also, Case, we probably talked about this at some point, but where do you stand on Tom Hanks in Elvis as the Colonel?
Okay, he did not get nominated.
No.
Did he?
No, he didn't.
Fat suit controversy aside, I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I think the more I think about his performance, the more, like, I did hate it at first, but now the more I think about it, the more I'm like, actually, that was...
He is so silly and like villainous. And I'm like, if you needed, he goes for it 100%.
Yeah, he does.
And I don't think Colonel Tom Parker is like this character we need to revere. It doesn't, like, why not have Tom Hanks do an insane voice?
Yeah, yeah.
And if that gets them more funding, go for, like, more money to make the movie, do it.
Yeah,
like, I kind of liked it. I was kind of into it.
Yeah, I walked out of the theater really loving the movie, but thinking that was like kind of the weakest part. And then I would talk with people that like hated it, and I agreed, but like kind of the more that I think about it and the more that it's like percolated in my mind, the more I'm like,
it's such an outrageous
movie. It was
kind
of an all-time performance because it's so outside of what Tom Hanks usually does, you know?
I know. He's a cartoon character, so I was fine with it, I guess.
So I could see Woody Harrelson and Tom Hanks being snubs.
Yes, but Tom Hanks, I guess he is supporting.
Yeah.
But he's also kind of a lead.
Yeah, because he's kind of narrating the whole thing, and he's kind of in it more than Austin, but...
He's white?
Hold on, my GarageBand is trying to get my... No, I don't want to use my Zoom audio device.
We don't want to use that.
No.
We don't want to use that. Am I the only one that cares about Elvis's security? God, what a crazy movie. Okay. Actress in a supporting role.
Okay.
Angela Bassett, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Angela Bassett did the thing.
Oh my God. I know what that is, but I don't want to talk about it.
Please, don't can we talk again. About Angela Bassett?
Hong Chow, the whale. Kerry Condon, The Banshees of Inisherin. Jamie Lee Curtis, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Stephanie Hsu, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Okay, go and say what you wanted to say about Angela Bassett. I'm sorry.
Well, did you saw the clip, right?
Yes, of course I did. I felt bad for her.
You did? Why did you feel bad?
I didn't feel bad for Angela Bassett. I felt bad for, was it Adriana DeBose?
Yeah, you felt bad for her?
Yeah.
I didn't feel bad for her. You got
the damn producers. She didn't like pitch that.
you got to know when to say no.
I guess that's true. I felt bad for her. I felt bad. Angela Bassett did the thing. Oh, it took me so long to figure out, like, what is she talking about? What is everyone talking about? Angela Bassett did this thing. That was wild.
All right.
Okay, Patrick,
if you're listening
and
you haven't seen Angela Bassett did the thing, Google it. Okay. Who do I think will win?
Oh, my God, Patrick, I'm a fucking idiot. I need to, like, stop down the podcast right now.
Why?
Vanderpump.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
This is more important than the Academy Awards.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. We're taking a pause here, people. Patrick, what are your quick thoughts about the Vanderpump controversy? Have you watched the new season at all? Tell me everything.
Okay, so I have a lot of thoughts, and they're mostly cynical, and I don't like it. I don't like that I'm being cynical about it. So for those... Is this making the pause? I don't know. Like, you said stop, but I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
This is making the pot. Okay. I just needed to be a dramatic stop.
Yes. Stop. So back to Vanderpump Rules. So for those that don't know, Tom Sandoval, who was in a committed relationship with Ariana from the show for a long time, like 10 years, right? Maybe not that long, but.
How long did you say?
Like 10 years.
You cut out for us. Yeah, 10 years, since 2013.
Yeah, so they've been together forever. They've been on the show. They have bar books together, and they work together. They're everything together. Supposedly, Tom Sandoval cheated on Ariana with DJ James Kennedy's ex-girlfriend. Were they ever engaged?
They might have been engaged.
Raquel.
Who is like, as bland as white paper.
Yeah.
And... was like a C-tier character. Like,
yes.
She really climbed up the corporate ladder within Vanderpump by sleeping with Tom Sandoval.
Yes. And
but she also hooked up with Tom Schwartz, apparently, or made out with him on the show. But that was like on the show.
Yeah.
But like was actually fucking Tom Sandoval.
Yes.
Who's kind of painted as like the good guy of the entire show.
Yeah, he's kind of like the... like he and Ariana have been the longest tenured relationship. They seem to kind of have, I mean, as far as Vanderpump healthy relationships go, aside from like Lisa
and Ken. They seem the most normal.
Yeah, they seem the most, I mean, but you know, and looking back, like Tom is also really unhinged. Like the fact that he still thinks his band can be a thing is actually really weird.
I didn't even know the band was still happening.
Yeah, he's still
there. That came, yeah. Well, also, didn't he cheat on Kristen with Ariana before yes. Ariana? So, yes. like, he has a history of doing this.
He does. This isn't without precedent. And now folks may rush to say, well, Kristen cheated on Tom first. That may have been the case. But two wrongs don't make a right, Casey.
That's so true, Patrick.
But I will say my cynicism seeps in. Yes. It's like, I feel like Vanderpump Rules, it lost Stassi. It lost Jax. It lost like two of the most...
Lost some central characters for some bad behavior.
Yes. They should be off TV.
Yes.
So it's not, I'm not like complaining about it necessarily, but they were electric television.
But the show
television.
Has been on a downturn for the past couple years, I would say.
Yes. In because fact, it's I haven't about watched the last two seasons.
It's ostensibly about 20-somethings working at a restaurant, but they're all now like 40. Like it started with them like young, hot, West Hollywood folks working at this sexy, unique restaurant, and now they're all like really kind of pathetic and sad.
Yeah,
which has its own
they went
entertainment
from being
value.
Like when they were at that age before, you know, they were kind of young and idealistic, and you could kind of dismiss their like naivete and earnestness for their age. And now it's like, but also now too, they are like kind of they're famous, obviously, since the whole world is like talking about them, but like. Not for anything. Like, I can't imagine the sort of, like, identity crisis.
So where does the cynicism come in?
So my cynicism is, I think that there's some orchestration going on. To me, it's outrageous that Tom Sandoval would hook up with Raquel. Like, that it's, like, she is so, but like, she's barely sentient. Like, she's, like, so...
Well,
and I think maybe that's just like how she comes off on TV. Like that may not be totally fair, but on TV she comes off as like.
Well, here's the thing with that show and
tell me what you think. So that's I think there's some orchestration. I think that there's some manipulation. I think there's a little bit of a ruse.
I don't think there is. Okay, I really don't think there is because these people have cheated on each other nonstop for the entirety of the show. I think the thing that I'm surprised about is that this is such a big deal to people. Like it's become this huge thing, but throughout the history of the show, people have cheated on each other all the time. I'm kind of confused why this is such a bigger deal. You know?
I think
is it because it's Ariana and Tom?
Yeah, I think because of what you said, they were kind of like cast as like the most normal people. They were kind of like the constant for so long. And then also, I really do think a lot of it is the fact that it's like Raquel, like of all people, like it's just so bizarre.
It's actually shocking she's stayed on the show for as long as she has. She's so nothing.
I couldn't believe, like, I haven't watched it in a while, so the fact that she was still on the show and, like, in everyone's orbit was, like, really surprising to me. I thought as soon as her and James were done, like, she would be zapped into the ether, but she's hung on somehow. Good for her.
Yeah. I like that it sort of invigorated Lala, who I love. So, that's exciting.
Oh, my God.
Anyways.
I can't get enough Randall Emmett dirt. Oh, I just love reading about all the
authors. The Fat Man! Patrick, can you send me your cameo of James Kennedy again?
Yeah, I'll send that.
I need to see that. Okay, sorry, I just needed to stop to discuss Vanderpump with you briefly.
I'm glad you brought that up. That was crucial.
Okay.
And we've discussed before, there's a crossover audience.
Yes, there is. Okay, Patrick, actress in a supporting role. Okay. Who do you think will win and who do you think should win?
This is probably the one that... So I've seen... How many of these performances have you seen?
I haven't seen Black Panther Wakanda.
Yeah, that's the only one I haven't seen.
I haven't seen The Whale either.
Oh, you haven't seen The Whale?
No.
Quick pause. Is my internet bad or is it your internet that's bad?
I don't know.
There's a delay here.
There is. A serious delay.
Should I turn off my video?
I'll turn off my camera. Maybe that'll
help.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll turn mine off too. How's this? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you great. This is probably all you stay in. This is good behind the scenes stuff. Okay.
I don't have any strong feelings about it. Okay.
I don't either. I actually don't care. I always kind of root for the young people because I feel like so many Oscars are like, oh, we got to make up for past crimes. You know, a lot of winners right. end up being like that. So I feel like Jamie Lee Curtis or Angela Bassett could win. But so it'd be kind of cool yes. if like Stephanie Hsu won. I yeah, don't know.
I agree.
I don't really have a strong opinion, though, I guess.
Did you see The Menu?
Yes.
Did we talk about this? Did you? I forget. Did you like it? I think we did talk about it. Oh, yeah. You didn't like it because you didn't like that it was kind of not very real.
That's not... That is such a... Why would you sum up my thought like that? That's such an insulting
way. Wait, didn't you say it wasn't like a real kitchen?
I was just like, the dishwashers would set themselves on fire. That's what I thought. But then you did bring up... That Scandinavian kitchen where the people are like, it's like a cult.
Yeah, Noma.
Noma.
Yeah.
And I just at the end where Anya Taylor-Joy is like, all right, I'm going to go. And everyone in the restaurant's kind of nodding like, yeah, you should go. We should die here. I was like, why is that? That seems too crazy. And I was like on board with all the shenanigans, but I was just like, that didn't track for me or something. You know what I mean?
I know. You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
They're all kind of like, that
cause
yeah.
Hong Chow is really good in The Menu. And she's very good in The Whale,
too. Awesome. I think she's great. I think she's a great actor. Yeah. She's really good in Watchmen. I think she's going to have a...
Did you ever watch Watchmen? I forget. Yeah, on HBO.
She plays like this... Yeah, like this CEO who's trying to... create some sort of device. I don't remember. They're trying to thwart her.
Oh, was she the one that was in that, like, she was one, like, living, like, she was like this sort of like Elon Musk, like Bill Gates, yes. Bezos, like genius yes. hybrid. And yeah. Yeah, she was really good in that role. I forgot that was her. Oh, yeah, she was great.
She can do anything.
She's got range, baby. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't feel too strongly.
I don't. Yeah. I don't. Let's move on, shall we?
Okay. Yes.
Actor in a leading role. Austin Butler, Elvis. Colin Farrell, The Banshees of Inisherin. Brendan Fraser, The Whale. Paul Mescal, Aftersun. And Bill Nighy in Living. Now, I haven't seen Aftersun, Living, or The Whale.
Okay. I have seen all of them except for Living, which I would like to see. Apparently, it's a remake of... Kurosawa's Ikiru, okay. Which, have you seen that?
No. I can see the picture of the cover right now in my head.
The man sitting on the swing?
Yes.
Yes, that's the one.
Go on. Who do you want to win, and who do you think will win?
So I want Brendan Fraser, and I think he will win. None of these would, like, upset me either. Like, all of them, like, seem very... They all kind of track for me. Is there anything that,
none of
that,
them have,
like,
won before, I think. None of them have won.
That's exciting.
So I like that.
I wonder when the last time that happened, where not a single person... I mean, it's probably not that uncommon, but I feel like, you know, there's usually, like, heavy hitters, you know?
Yeah. There's usually, like, one Judi Dench thrown in there. Even in the actor in a lead category. She just sneaks her way in, doesn't she? yeah, I mean, I think it would be cool if Austin Butler won. I think it'd be cool if Colin Farrell won. I don't really have an opinion on Paul Mescal or Bill Nighy, to be honest. But yeah,
Mescal was very good in Aftersun.
He's just so cute, and he's engaged to Phoebe Bridgers. Everything's just so easy for him.
I think they broke up.
Hmm. Sorry, Paul.
Did you know that?
Better luck next time. I didn't know that. Any other thoughts about actor in a leading role?
No.
Go on. No. Actress in a leading role. Cate Blanchett, Tar. Ana de Armas, Blonde. Andrea Riseborough, To Leslie. Michelle Williams, The Fabelmans. Michelle Yeoh, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Who do you want to win? And who do you think will win? This is a tough one, I think.
This is the one. So of all the categories we've done, this is the most interesting one so far.
I think so, too.
In terms of, I think it's pretty wide open.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't seen... How many of these have you seen?
Three. I have not seen Blonde or To Leslie.
Okay. So the only one I haven't seen is To Leslie. And what did you think of the... some of our listeners may... the extremely online like us. there was a weird investigation into how... The Oscar campaign behind Andrea Riseborough and To Leslie. Like, it was like... two grassroots or something. Did you see this?
Really sinister to me that the Academy took this stance, because like,
yeah,
sure, she has like friends in the Academy, but like they're doing it because she did a good job. They're not just doing it for any damn role to like ruin the system. And so like,
right,
I think the Academy Awards nominating shit is like really broken, and so I think it's cool that she got in there. Like, but they were almost going to be like, they were almost going to like strike it from the record.
So stupid. Which how she kind of got through? How is that any like better or worse than like putting out, you know, thousands of dollars worth of ads, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of ads, you know, in Variety or in billboards around LA? You know, it's like,
yeah, what? They were kind of framing it as more like pure. They were kind of framing it as like, this is the problem with social media. It's like, what are you talking about? I don't know. I think...
So I have not seen it.
I have not seen it either. I think Michelle Yeoh is going to win.
And who do you want to win?
I think Michelle Yeoh. I mean, Cate Blanchett's so great in Tar. I could see her winning too. I think it's down to those two, to be honest.
I agree. I agree with you. I think Michelle Yeoh will win. And I would kind of like to see Cate Blanchett win, just because I'm so obsessed with Lydia Tarr as a character.
Yes. I think that's a more unique character that she created. But Michelle Yeoh is very good in Everything Everywhere All at Once. And
yes,
a once-in-a-lifetime
Michelle Yeoh is fantastic in it. Yeah. And it's a real, like, you don't see, you know, there's not opportunities like for those kinds of characters and those kinds of actors that often. You know, it's like as anyone gets older, it's just like harder to get like
an
a
Asian
fun
woman.
Role like that. Yeah, and an Asian woman. So like usually you're relegated to a certain kind of type, and she got to be the lead in like a like cool, fun action sci-fi movie, you know?
I thought Michelle Williams was very good in The Fabelmans too, because she has kind of like an annoying, kooky theater mom character, but it's like that's a real person. Like, I know that kind of person. And I thought she played it really well, you know?
I thought she did well too. I mean, everyone that I've seen here did a phenomenal job.
Everyone's Leah working really hard like, out there.
Leah did not like Michelle Williams in The Fablemans. I think it was like one of her biggest hangups. I
understand that. But that kind of woman exists. Like, I think that's, people don't, just because the character is not cool doesn't mean it's not a good performance. You know what I mean? That's just my opinion.
Right.
That's just it.
Yeah. Yeah. I get I think mostly Leah just didn't buy that Michelle Williams would be Steven Spielberg's mom, which it is kind of strange in context, but
it is weird that Paul Dano and Michelle Williams are not Jewish. That did sort of bother me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that bothered Leah too. It was, and it kind of, I think it took her out a little bit. Which I get.
I understand that.
But also Steven Spielberg cast them, so there's something to it.
Let's move on to Best... Yes.
Yeah, before we get a little bit further down, I do want to ask you, do you think you'll end up seeing Blonde?
No. And not because of the... I don't know. The controversy.
The controversy.
I just don't think
I thought Ana de Armas did a really good job, and I think in another year she could potentially win. I think the movie was too niche and too fraught from like a discourse perspective, but her performance is really, really good. Just want to kind of mention that. Give her some kudos in case she's listening.
Yes. Okay, moving on. Let's do Best Original Screenplay. This is usually, I like to do this one because this is where the weirdo ones kind of come in sometimes.
Yeah, they kind of acknowledge ones that kind of aren't necessarily otherwise acknowledged.
Yes. So, The Banshees of Inisherin, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fabelmans, Tar, and Triangle of Sadness. Which one do you think is going to win, and which one do you want to win?
This is a really tough one.
It is. Because this is most, like, unique film, I guess. You know?
Yeah. I think The Banshees of Inisherin will win.
Hmm.
And I want Tar to win.
I think that's my exact same answer. I think Tar could win.
Yeah.
Especially if they feel like, I feel like a few months ago, it felt like Tar was like a shoo-in for winning everything. And now I don't feel that way for some reason.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It didn't, you know, I think Banshees of Inisherin and Everything Everywhere All at Once, they've like kept it, those movies have like kept up more momentum, especially Everything yeah. Everywhere All at Once. Like, it's kept the momentum like all the way up to the finish line. So
yeah,
that feels like something that has a better shot.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any snubs in Best Original Screenplay?
None are coming to mind.
I think Nope.
Nope was a huge snub all around. That should have gotten at least nominated for Best Cinematography.
Yeah, that is absolutely wild that it was not nominated for Best Cinematography. I know we don't typically cover that category on this special, but yeah.
Yes.
Egregious oversight.
I saw that. I just recently watched that again. I think I included that on my last Letterboxd rundown. Oh my gosh, Patrick, we didn't do our Letterboxd rundown.
Oh,
I'm
shit.
A lot of sorts. Oh my God, Patrick, what have I done? Okay, so this is perfect, actually. This is such an insane episode. I haven't looked at our... I have an outline, people. I just didn't look at it, okay? Leave me alone. Patrick, let's stop down and do our Letterboxd rundown.
I think I only have...
Another stop down.
I think I only have one movie since the last time we met.
Do you think I'm doing a bad job? You can tell me.
With what?
Running this episode.
No, not at all. Especially because...
It's out of control.
Especially because, as you may or may not leave in, there's been some technical internet issues, so it does make...
I'm not going to leave in the 25-minute pause we had in the middle. I'll just read mine real
quick.
Yeah,
you go first.
Did I say upgrade? Yes, I did. I said that last time.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye, Columbus. Have you ever heard of this movie? It's based on a Philip Roth book. It's from the 60s. It was kind of it's sort of like one of the Graduate knockoffs that came out around that time.
Okay.
It's kind of cute. Kind of cute. You Were Never Really Here, the Lynn Ramsey movie.
Oh, yes.
I liked it a lot.
Was that your first time seeing it?
Uh-huh.
It's good, huh?
Maiden Voyage.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
Made me sad. Then I watched Plane with Gerard Butler.
Did you see it in theaters?
You heard of that movie? No, I didn't.
It's already out on streaming.
Yeah. I'm famously very afraid of flying, so it really hit hard.
Yeah, was it entertaining or was it anxiety filling or both?
Both. I enjoyed both. Had you seen it?
I have no interest in seeing Plane.
Why not? It's fun.
It looks so boring. I cannot be bothered.
It's not boring. It's fun.
It looks so stupid that it's boring. But if you say it's that fun, I'll maybe consider it.
It's fun. It's a laugh riot.
I do think Ambulance was one of the most overrated.
Oh my God. Okay, then maybe you won't like Plane. I like vehicle movies. Plane. Ambulance. Then I watched Star Trek III, The Search for Spock.
Nice.
I'd never seen it before. You know, cool. Star Trek movies are a little tough because like that movie's like an hour and a half, you know? But mm-hmm. a regular episode of Star Trek is an hour. And so like a really good episode of Star Trek is in a lot of ways better than a movie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like... Maybe the production's higher.
I've never seen a single episode of Star Trek, and I've never seen a single Star Trek movie.
It's a big commitment.
Yeah. Do you still, you've probably finished The Next Generation by now, right?
Oh, I finished Next Generation. I finished Deep Space Nine. I'm almost done with Star Trek Voyager.
Oh my God. And what's your favorite between those three?
Star Trek, I think my favorite, I don't usually break into categories like this, but I will.
Thank you.
I think the best one is Star Trek Next Generation, but my favorite is Deep Space Nine.
Is Patrick Stewart in both of those?
No, he's only in Next Generation.
Gotcha.
The problem with Next Generation, it has some of the best episodes of Star Trek ever, but also like some truly cheesy shit in there. I love Star Trek Next Generation.
Did any of the original characters, like, does Spock ever show up again in any of the other ones, or is he only in the original?
He pops around. Yeah, he pops around.
So, and is it gosh, what's the actor's
Leonard
name?
Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, does Leonard Nimoy play him? And
yeah.
He does? Oh, that's
cool. He has a run in Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Pretty cool. What about you, Patrick? What about your Letterboxd rundown?
The only thing I saw, and this is okay because it was such a spectacular treat, was RRR in theaters.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did you have a good time?
Had a blast. It was so much fun. I was so glad that I was so bummed when I missed it in theaters, and then I kept putting off watching it at home because A, it's 3 hours, and B, it's like, I want to see it in theaters. I want that whole experience. Yeah. And so I was just looking at the Alamo Drafthouse showtimes, and RRR was back in theaters for a couple nights.
Heaven.
Got to see it. In fact, got to see it the night after Katie Walsh did a Q&A with cast and crew of RRR in LA, which looked pretty cool. Yeah, it was as advertised, I would say. It was so much
fantastic.
Fun. Can't
I
recommend
that,
it enough.
Patrick. I love that.
That was all I saw. I was a lot of TV. I don't know what else I'm going to do. I've been watching The Last of Us, some Twin Peaks, Succession, rewatching that with Leah, who hasn't seen it. And
I've fallen off with The Last of Us. I haven't seen the last couple episodes.
Yeah, I'm
behind
too.
It's good. It's just heavy.
It is heavy.
Makes me sad.
I really like the show. I just don't, for me, it's not as gripping as other TV shows that I've watched.
Well, I famously don't like television. So.
You famously despise it.
Patrick, now I was going to move on to the best pictures, but I also, you know, in the past we've done our top five movies of the year. I don't know if I'm up for that.
Oh,
but
really?
I could do my favorite. Are you?
Yeah, I could do top five, but I could also just do favorite. Or maybe
why don't
two
we
or
just
three.
Do favorite?
Okay. Do you want to do best adapted screenplay or no?
We can.
Let's do best
cue
adapted.
It up.
Yeah.
Cue it up.
All right. So best adapted.
And by cue it up. Oh, you're going to do it. Great. Yes. Do it, please.
Well, just because you said cue it up, I figured you wanted me to do it.
I said that and then I immediately rescinded it, but we're going back now. So go ahead.
Okay. I'll take this on. All Quiet on the Western Front, based on the novel by Eric Maria Remarque. Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery, Ryan Johnson. Living by Kazuo Ishiguro, famous
British
novelist.
I didn't know
that
was like Kazuo Ishiguro. I read a book of his recently. He's
Which
good.
One? The Never Let
is
Me
it
Go?
Clara and the Sun?
Oh.
No. Clara and the Sun.
How was it?
It's good.
Cool.
I like him. I like Remains of the Day.
He's a great author. Extremely talented. Top Gun Maverick and Women Talking.
That's so funny that Top Gun Maverick got nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay. Like, I really like that movie a lot.
Me too.
But I don't know. It's like, is that why that movie is good? Because of the screenplay?
No,
I don't know.
It's like extraneous.
That's so fucking.
Which is probably isn't fair. I mean, it is actually a pretty good script, all things considered, especially with how they handle its relationship with Val Kilmer's Iceman character.
Iceman.
So who do you think, or which one do you think will win? Which one do you want to win? Have you seen all that? Well, no, we haven't seen Living. Neither of us have.
I've seen all of them except Living.
Same.
I just watched Women Talking last night. I would like Women Talking to win because I read that book.
Oh, you did? Was it good?
Yeah, very good.
Oh, we talked about this. I saw it
adapted
on your...
it well.
Okay.
And I really liked that movie a lot. I feel like it's going to be like All Quiet on the Western Front or something weird.
I think Women Talking should win, and I think Women Talking will win.
Oh, you do?
I think it'll win, yeah.
I think that would be so great because Sarah Pauley is a great filmmaker and she doesn't make movies all the time, and winning an Academy Award could like really change the trajectory of how she's able to make movies in the future.
And I've loved everything she's made. Even, did you ever see Take This Waltz? It wasn't as well received as Away From Her. Which I think was her debut movie and was exceptional. I even like Take This Waltz. Some people didn't like it as much. I thought it was pretty good. I'm a huge fan of Sarah
Pauley.
Isn't
it funny that there's a little Take This Waltz reunion in The Fablemans this year? It's kind of funny.
Oh, there is. Funny, but that didn't even register with me until you mentioned it. I love that.
You know what movie didn't get nominated for anything?
What?
But I just feel like in terms of like Top Gun Maverick and Avatar... The Batman didn't get nominated for anything.
Oh.
Wasn't that this year? Or was that last year?
Yeah, no, it was this year. It was March.
Something in the way. You think it would have gotten nominated for like some technical thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, what? So, it was completely shut out?
I think so.
Yeah, that is surprising. I would have thought for sure it would be Get Something. Oh, you know,
because at the time it was a big deal when that came out, I felt like.
You know, I just realized, and oh no, it was nominated for Best Sound.
Oh, it was, okay.
Mm-hmm. And Best Makeup and Hairstyling. But still. Oh, you know, Case, at the top, you asked what I'm most excited about with the Oscars, kind of what I'm looking forward to the most. It's definitely actually the live performance of Natu Natu from RRR. I cannot
wait. Are they doing that? That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is definitely what I'm most excited about.
Incredible.
And I really want them to win that. So that would be a blast. I'm bummed that didn't get nominated for Best Picture. That was a bit of a slight snub to me. But it is, as we were saying, it's kind of a crowded field this year. There's a lot of good stuff. So
yeah. Yeah. Now, Patrick, what is your favorite movie of the year?
Okay, you ready for this, Case?
Yes, I am.
Do you have any idea what it is?
I think I do.
Okay, I'm going to say it, and if this is right, you have to tell me.
Okay.
Crimes of the Future.
Yeah, that was what I thought you were going
to
say.
Okay. And what's your favorite?
Oh, this is hard.
Hard because you're nervous to tell me, or hard because you're not sure?
I'm not sure. It really, I would say it's like a tie between Nope, Crimes of the Future, The Fabelmans.
Tar?
There's some good movies this year.
Tar?
I wouldn't put Tar up there with my favorite.
You like Fabelmans more than Tar?
I was very affected by Fabelmans.
Mm.
It was so good. I'm just going to say for something different, I'm going to say Nope.
Okay.
I really loved Nope.
Nope's great.
Nope was so good.
I'd like to watch it again. I had a really good time watching it in theaters. It was extremely entertaining. It was really fucking cool.
Yeah, it was the coolness can't be discussed enough.
Also, I feel like it's hard when you have a movie that's ostensibly kind of, I wouldn't call it a mystery movie, but you know, you don't really know what's going on, and to kind of deliver on that unknown is pretty cool.
I like monster movies too.
Yeah,
like a monster.
I do too.
Like a monster. All right, Patrick, let's move on to the best pictures here.
All right,
and listeners, I'm sorry this has been such a mess. I feel like I'm just all over the place.
No, you're good.
I feel sick. Here we go. Best picture: All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, The Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fabelmans, Tar, Top Gun Maverick, Triangle of Sadness, Women Talking. Now, Patrick, I want to hear your favorite of this bunch and your least favorite of the bunch.
Okay. My favorite of this bunch is Tar, and my least favorite is Avatar.
That's interesting. There's some sort of symmetry there.
What about you?
I'm going to say... Avatar is actually my least favorite, but I'm going to say something controversial here.
Ooh, love it.
Triangle of Sadness has kind of fallen in estimation. These other films feel more alive to me than Triangle of Sadness. What? So that I was actually, I like Triangle of Sadness a lot, but it's towards the bottom, I think.
What was the movie that you mentioned earlier on the podcast that you hadn't thought about much?
Power of the Dog.
Power of the Dog. So I kind of feel that way with Triangle of Sadness, actually. I saw there was an ad for it on Instagram. I follow, you know, Neon Pictures or whatever on Instagram.
Of course.
And,
of course, we all do. We're cinephiles. Yeah.
And there's, you know, a screen cap from Triangle of Sadness. And it made me think I haven't really... I like Triangle of Sadness, as he said, but I haven't thought about it really at all.
Yeah.
It's kind of fallen out. Until I was trying to think of, potential snubs, and I remembered Woody Harrelson's performance, but...
Yeah.
It doesn't live in my mind the way that a lot of these other ones do.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I really liked Top Gun.
Top Gun was so good.
Probably not more than any of the more artsy ones, but it's I understand why it was nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
I thought it was really phenomenal movie.
I know. I don't even, it's not an unreasonable nomination. I would think it was kind of weird if it won, kind of, but it would, I couldn't even be that upset because it is such a,
I wouldn't be, it would be surprising, but also there was a lot of talk of, Tom Cruise saving the movies,
Did you see that clip that film with Steven Spielberg?
So. Yes, I did. So, there's that. What I want to win, I think I want Everything Everywhere All at Once to win.
And what do you think will win?
I think that will,
God, I'm just a broken record here, but I want Tar. I need Tar.
Tar. But Tar is such a phenomenal film.
It's so good.
It's like, it's like an entity unto itself.
Yeah.
It's like beyond film. It's like amazing. Like the fact, like Lydia Tarr, the character, is like one of the all-time greatest characters in cinematic history. And I'm not being hyperbolic.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like somehow, like a character that just like, by like somehow under any other, like with any other actor, with any other writer, director, like it would just be kind of a nothing character. And this with Cate Blanchett and Todd Field, it's just like, literally has transcended the movie and become like something completely its own thing. And it's really impressive.
Yes. Now, Patrick, we also must say the Fart House movie of the year, which is different than our favorite movies of the year.
Okay.
Last year, I believe we did Titan.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Now, I think we should pick from the Academy Award nominated movies.
Okay.
Well, I guess actually we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that.
Okay.
Do you have any thoughts on that? We're doing this in real time.
Yeah.
Discussing this.
I'm looking
at the Fart House movie of the year.
And I forget what the parameters we set. Is it the artsiest, fartsiest movie of the year? Or is it like us, our collective favorite movie of the year?
I think it's like the artsiest, fartsiest. It kind of hits what makes Fart House, you know.
Oh, yes. I have. So
what is it?
It doesn't need to be part of the Oscars?
It doesn't.
Okay.
But it can be.
Okay.
I was just curious if you had a thought about this. Okay, go.
I got two, and then you tell me if you got one. Blonde.
And
yeah.
Okay, go on.
You haven't seen it?
Okay, go on. I haven't seen it.
And Decision to Leave.
Well, okay, here's the thing, Patrick.
Yeah.
I think, when I think about like artsy-fartsy, esoteric snobbery,
mm-hmm.
I think of Tar. I think Tar is my nominee for Fart House Movie of the Year.
I think Tar is an unimpeachable selection. I don't disagree with you.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm too, like, I just was so riveted by Tar. It's hard for me to, but yeah, stepping back. Did you see Decision to Leave?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I think, and the length of Tar. Yeah, I would say Tar or Blonde. I mean, okay, Blonde is really...
The length and, like, it's dealing with, like, really artsy-fartsy shit and, like, but also making fun of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know who hated it? Like,
who?
My cousin Joe. Joey Daddy Boy.
Hated Tar?
Hated Tar.
Wasn't for you, Joe. It wasn't for you.
We're gatekeeping, Joe. Shouldn't have snuck past
Tar,
the gate.
I think Tar has to be our movie of the year.
I'll agree with that. I think it's an unimpeachable case.
It's just a gut feeling, and I just feel like it has to be.
Yeah. You're not wrong, man. You're not wrong.
Patrick, I kind of wanted to do something here.
Okay.
Unless you had anything else you wanted to say. We haven't done this in the past, but I just thought it'd be kind of a fun exercise.
No, we've hit like kind of all the key things I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked about our favorite movies of the year. Oh, what actually, do you have a least favorite movie of the year?
Oh, that's a great question. Let me look at my diary of movies that came out this year.
I have
You know, it's always amazing when you like look back at the movies that you watch that came out this year. And it's always like fewer than you think.
Yeah.
I feel like I did a good job of only seeing good movies. Like I like all the movies I watched this year were good. You know, it's kind of hard now to like see a really bad movie, like be surprised by a bad movie. You know,
it really is. It's gotten like increased, and especially like with so many movies, and especially so much access to older movies too. It's like you really want to be discerning in what you choose to spend your time on, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very rare that I encounter something. And even this one I'm about to say, we've talked about it before in my Letterboxd rundown one time. It's not even that awful, but my least favorite of the year was Cha-Cha Real Smooth.
Oh, interesting.
That motherfucker's name.
People like that
Cooper
movie.
Rafe. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my least favorite.
Okay.
Some people love it.
Okay. I I think least favorite, because I'm not saying it's the worst, but like my least favorite movie that I watched this year. I need to come up with one now so I can be like, I did not really enjoy that. I don't know. I guess I watched this movie Fall. I liked it. It was fun, but it was bad. You know what? I'm going to be controversial.
Okay.
I'm going to say my least favorite movie that I watched this year. Oh, The Menu.
That's your least favorite.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Fall now. This looks ridiculous. This is so stupid.
I didn't even hate The Menu, but I watched all
that's
such
fine.
Good movies.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So what I wanted to do was go through the Fartsy test and this is just like kind of stream of consciousness, movies that hit these categories well this year. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So does this make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, like name a movie that comes to mind when you mention a question from the Fartsy test.
Yeah. Okay. So like disorienting editing choices. Any movies that come to mind ping you immediately?
Blonde.
Blonde?
Yeah.
I was going to say Everything Everywhere All at Once. Very disorienting.
Yes.
What's anything else?
Disorienting editing choices. Nothing else is really coming to mind.
Okay. What about inappropriately long gazing? I think there's some in Tar.
Tar, certainly. For sure. Banshees of Inisherin.
There's a lot of gazing in Banshees of Inisherin.
After Sun as well.
Okay. Okay. Very good. I would say Infinity Pool too.
Oh, yes. Infinity Pool.
Is there suicide? There is in Tar.
Yes. In Tar there is. In Blonde.
All Quiet on the Western Front, you could say.
Yeah, All Quiet Blonde. On the Western Front. Is there suicide in Triangle of Sadness?
Women Talking.
Oh, yeah, Women Talking.
There is.
Decision to Leave.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of them are hitting. That's like kind of like a prerequisite to be nominated.
Yeah, I guess so. Does someone masturbate? Is there a penis in this movie? I don't think there's a little bit of like a dick root in Infinity Pool, but I didn't see full hog in that one.
No, there's penis in Blonde.
Okay, there is.
Yeah.
Man, Blonde's coming up a lot.
Yeah, it's a pretty inscrutable piece of film. Did you see Bones and All by any chance?
No, I didn't.
That was pretty good, although it didn't get as much awards season traction as I thought it would. I'm trying to remember. Did you see Babylon or no?
No, did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm trying to remember if there's penis in Babylon.
I have no desire to see that movie. If I saw that movie, it'd be my least favorite movie. I think.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. You never know. Are there topics, images, or behaviors that go beyond what would be considered acceptable in a mainstream film? Let's see. I would say Infinity Pool.
Yeah. Crimes of the Future.
Crimes of the Future. Do we see a penis in Crimes of the Future? I'd say Women Talking, too. Really disturbing stuff in that movie.
Yeah. Crimes of the Future, Infinity Pool, Women Talking. I don't know. This was in my top 10, so I'm going to say it, but X. Ty West, yeah. X, because I fucking love that movie.
Also, Tar is so inscrutable, like what they're talking about.
Yeah.
That, like, I feel like people would be like, what the fuck is this? Like,
how we've talked about before with other movies, if you try and describe, like, the premise of it to someone, like what it's about, and you're like, you're really struggling after like a few words and it's not registering with them, you're like, okay, that's automatically something that it's gonna be difficult.
100%. Can Peanut start watching this movie after 8 p.m. without falling asleep?
Oh my god.
Tar.
Blonde again. I mean, Women Talking is kind of on the shorter side, so I don't know about Women Talking.
It is. But that one is kind of like a play.
Yeah.
So you could see. I also think Triangle of Sadness is really long.
Yes, it is. And that's my biggest criticism. It's too long, Triangle of Sadness. Oh, there was this movie that came out from Iran called Holy Spider.
Uh-huh, yes.
Very good movie in my top 10, but I did fall asleep watching it after 8.
Doesn't that make you think of Dio's Holy Diver? Holy spider!
Oh, yes. Yeah, it does, actually. I think cool. Soundgarden has a song called Holy Diver, too.
Oh, they do? Maybe they're doing a cover.
I think. Yeah, they may be. I'll look into it.
They also have a song called Spoon Man.
Oh, they play Spoon Man at the Padres games after the pitcher strikes a batter out.
Why?
I don't know. But they play the little guitar riff that goes after every strikeout. Like, what does Dodger Stadium play? Do they play Another One Bites the Dust after a strikeout?
I don't remember what they play.
Every stadium has something unique they play for a strikeout.
Spoon Man.
Dance a reason in your hand. Rich reason why you can't
dance. Spoon Man. Is there an inordinate amount of milling about?
The Banshees of Inisherin.
Oh my God, that is. That's the winner. Also, Women Talking to some degree. There's some millage.
Women Talking, yeah.
But Banshees of Inisherin takes the cake yeah. on that one. Holy shit.
Oh, and After Sun, too. After Sun, okay. A lot of milling about, yeah.
Very good, very good. Is there an inordinate amount? Oh, I already said that. Poster titillation level. What's a movie that had a titillating poster to you, Patrick?
Ooh.
I have one.
What?
Nope.
Nope is great. I'm looking at all.
Do you remember when they released, this is the only time this ever happened, where they released a movie poster and I was like, fuck, I need to see that.
Yeah.
Because it was just a cloud with the thing coming out.
I was very, yeah, flags. Nope. I remember when Jordan Peele tweeted about it. I don't even know if the movie was like, if it hadn't even been shooting yet. I mean, maybe it had, production had already started, but I remember when Jordan Peele tweeted about it, I was so excited. Just like the second he announced it, I was like, oh God, it's going to be great. And it lived up to it. It's pretty amazing.
Was there a trailer that really got you psyched this year?
Oh, Crimes of the Future. Lost my mind at the Crimes of the Future trailer. I also loved the X trailer. I thought was really, really cool.
You know,
I love the Barbarian trailer too.
Oh yeah. I feel like Alamo Drafthouse fucked up by not like having a purple candy bar thing at the screenings of Crimes of the Future. Wouldn't that have been fun?
Yes, yes. It would have been awesome. I would have loved that. What was Katie Walsh got something really cool at a screening?
It was like a surgery practice.
Yeah,
set
yeah. Didn't she get like an? Did she get one of the ears too? Yeah, she got something really cool.
That's tight.
Oh, love that.
Oh, golly.
What's the movie that you would be most excited? Like of the Oscar nominees? I don't know how to phrase this question. I was gonna ask like, what's the one you'd be most excited to tell someone about to watch that you think they would like? Or what do you think the one what most people will be happy about if it wins? I think that's the question I want to ask you. What's going to be the one that the largest...
I think Everywhere All at Once, Everything Everywhere All at Once, people will be most happy.
I think that could be true, but I think if you go further and go to the run-of-the-mill movie Josephine, I think it would be Top Gun.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
But
yes, I think there'll be a backlash. There's always a backlash. No matter who wins, there's a backlash. The only movie I remember not having backlash is like Parasite.
Yes, that was beloved.
Yeah. Across all quadrants.
I just don't think, these are the movies that I really don't think are going to win Best Picture.
Okay.
Women Talking, Triangle of Sadness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Top Gun is going to win.
No, I don't think so either. And I don't think Avatar will win.
I don't think Avatar will win. I don't think Elvis will win.
We've barely talked about Elvis, and which is because I really do love that movie, but we've brought up so many other movies.
Oh, it was so fucking fun. Yeah. I loved Elvis. Again, too long, I think. But like, I was so sweaty and exhausted by the end of that movie.
I love Elvis. I really want to watch it again, but it was such a great cinema experience. I'm worried watching it at home won't hit.
I watched it at home. It was fun.
Okay.
I thought Austin Butler was really good.
Oh, he's amazing. He was like better Elvis than Elvis. Like, did you watch any side-by-sides of Austin Butler dancing and Elvis dancing? It's remarkable. Austin Butler is
I just wanted him to wiggle.
Yeah. He could wiggle like nobody's business.
It's funny too because I'm like, I don't really want to know if this happened or was, you know, like where it's like he sticks up his pinky finger and wiggles it. Did that happen? Like, I don't care. I loved it. No, it was so... I think that movie did something so right, which no one ever does. Like, all these other, like, shitty rock and roll biopics, the movie felt like hearing Elvis for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Like, that was his whole priority, I felt like. Was like, this needs to be fucking electric.
Yeah.
Like, there's no scenes in that movie. It's all like, whoa, yeah. Whoa, whoa. Like, it's just like moving yes. through these, like, Elvis wants to go on tour. Like, oh, I'm going to stay back here. Like, it's just like a montage. It's so kinetic and crazy.
Yeah. Which I agree. I think that's how you have to approach it. Instead, you like Bohemian Rhapsody, you just get the most like,
I didn't even see it.
Bland. Oh my God. Just like, it's like, it's completely devoid of imagination. It's like shocking.
Well, I hate biopics. And I thought, that, like, honestly, this is like the best biopic I've ever seen because it was just like, it's the feeling of Elvis, not an actual, like, we don't need all the stupid shit.
Yeah.
You know?
No, we don't need another Ray or Walk the Line. Like, those are
yes,
fine. That's
exactly.
been done.
Oh my
like,
God. Walk the Line. What a horrific movie.
I liked it at the time.
I did too. I love Johnny Cash, but like, it didn't, it's so bland
yeah.
compared to Elvis.
I mean, it's lucky
you know?
It's Joaquin Phoenix playing Johnny Cash. So that's, it could have been even worse.
God almighty.
I do have a movie you're most excited for this year in 2023.
What?
Do you have one?
Oh, wait, say,
do
what's
a,
the movie I'm most excited for?
Yeah.
What do you mean? That I haven't seen?
That's like coming out in 2023. This is like looking forward.
Oh my gosh.
I'm only mentioning this because I saw something recently that
I can't name one movie that's coming out.
I'm excited for Beau Is Afraid, the new Ari Aster movie. Uh-oh. I wish everyone could see Casey's face right now.
Am I excited for that? The trailer didn't get me going.
Oh, really? If you put Supertramp in a trailer, I'm going to be stoked out of my mind.
I was just like, what are we doing here? I was like, is this like his mother?
Yeah, but don't you love when a director does that?
It's kind of fun. But I'm like, I don't know. It just seems like so awful.
I could see it being an absolute disaster, but I love a good disaster.
Yeah, those are kind of fun too. Get all your ideas out there. He's just been so good. His first two movies are like flawless. Who has a better like two movie run? Like first two film, you know?
I don't know. I can't think of anyone. Maybe David Lynch? Eraserhead and Elephant Man?
Those are good.
Yeah.
Those are good. I'm sure there's others, but I can't think of any right now.
Me neither.
But anyways, I don't know. I can't think of any other movies that are even like happening.
Yeah, kind of an unfrequent, and I kind of just jumped that on you.
You really threw that at me.
But it was like because really I brought up Joaquin Phoenix, and I just saw the trailer, and blah, 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 blah. And Supertramp's in the trailer, and I love Supertramp.
You know, okay, this is last thoughts here. I don't know if I liked Rooney Mara in Women Talking.
Oh, really?
I'm kind of getting tired of her shtick.
I kind of know what you mean.
She's just always very quiet and serious. And she's kind of expressionless. And
she used to come into Intelligentsia, remember?
Oh, I remember. I was so excited.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, God, Rooney Mara's here. She's like 2 feet tall.
Yeah.
She's like the tiniest woman on the planet.
She's like 22 pounds. You could fit her in your pocket. You
could have fit her, dude in her could be hanging
you
out.
You could fit her in the portafilter of the espresso machine.
Yeah. Very good, Patrick. Very good. That's a very small space, if people are wondering. I don't know. Because in the book, and I hate when people say this, but like in the book, she's supposed to be kind of this like joyous, bright, effervescent, like funny woman. And I just felt like she was very muted.
That's really interesting you mentioned that because I wouldn't characterize her that way, but she was the more sunnier.
Yeah,
she was the slightly more optimistic, but yeah, that doesn't really, it's not fully consistent with what you described from the book.
I really like that movie, Women Talking. I just have one other slight complaint.
Not enough Frances McDormand?
No, I could do with less of her. In movies. I've had my fill of Francis.
Okay. What's your complaint?
I didn't like the color correction.
Oh, me neither.
It was It was very early 2000s, like The Machinist.
No, I think it could have been it could have been a much better looking movie. I agree.
I was just like, why is this like, didn't it look like, it was like, I hurt myself today. Or like, It felt like, kind of like, early 2000s, late 90s, kind of desaturated sepia tone. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was not working for me.
I agree. And I remember seeing, when I first saw the trailer, I was like, is this how the movie's going to look? Because like, it did not, when I first read about the movie, I thought it, I don't know. I just didn't, especially, you know, knowing Sarah Pauly's other movies, and maybe that's why she wanted to kind of
mute it
and distinguish it. And I understand kind of like thematically, it seems like it might make sense, but it almost seems like too on the nose.
Yeah, I agree.
But
anyways. Well, Patrick, we've really covered it all. People are probably exhausted. People have probably like destroyed their phones because this episode was so.
Especially if you leave in the gap.
I'm not leaving that in.
No, I think people are going to love it because.
The delay.
Because we got chemistry. We got energy.
Oh.
We touched on Vanderpump Rules.
We had to.
Yeah, we had to.
We had to.
This is the greatest hits.
I have more. I feel like I have more to say about Vanderpump, but next episode, maybe more will transpire.
Yeah.
Then, you know?
Yeah.
Oh goodness. Well, Patrick, that's us. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we're Farthouse Pod. Instagram, Farthouse Pod. Follow Patrick on Twitter at Patrick R. Mallon. Instagram, Letterboxd at PR Mallon. I'm Casey Lee O'Brien on all services. What are you gonna do? It's like 9 o'clock where you are.
Yeah,
what's the rest of your evening?
I have some leftover Domino's from Saturday.
Okay, yeah, those are on the edge, I would say.
Is that too long?
You remember when I said Trish was going out of town, you told me to order Domino's?
Yeah.
I did.
You did? Good.
And it was, I mean, it should get a Michelin star. It was so good.
I'm so pleased.
Food be better than that?
Yeah. You know? I know. It's such a delight. I also, on Friday, I got a lot of... Well, Friday night, it was... we were supposed to go to a different dinner, but Leah had trial for the first time in like six, seven years.
Oh, wow.
And the jury was supposed to come back earlier on Friday afternoon, but they ended up taking the whole evening. So we missed a dinner reservation and got Taco Bell instead, which... It was great. I love Taco Bell, but they completely forgot my cheesy gordita crunches. And so I've submitted multiple complaints and have heard nothing. So if I don't hear anything by Friday, I am disputing the charge with my credit card company because that's $13 worth of cheesy gordita crunches.
That is, you know what? I love Taco Bell. That is the fast food place that gets your order wrong most.
Oh, it's a disaster. Think.
Don't you think?
Yes, far and away. No other place comes close to fucking up like Taco Bell. And I love it. I love it. I am dedicated to it.
And a cheesy gordita crunch, that's probably what you were most looking for.
Oh, it absolutely was. There were no cheesy gordita crunches. Ordered three of them.
God almighty.
Granted, two were for me and one was for Leah. But, so that's the update there.
Man, I haven't had a cheesy gordita crunch in a couple weeks. I should probably get one.
Yeah, you might want to order it in person. Otherwise, you don't know what you're going to get.
We live... disturbingly close to a Taco Bell, like two blocks.
Love that. Although it is an up incline.
It is up an incline. Stuff. All right, Patrick, that's us.
All right.
We're the Cinephile Cuties, signing off.
Bye.
Patas.